Hello, this is First Lady, and we welcome you to Take Two Podcast because it's awesome and I love it so much. Are we done here?
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Take Two Podcast, episode number 27. That's right, 27. We are now two over that magical number 25. With me tonight is our host with Brian, Nick, and we've got our ever-loving Tony as well.
Ever-loving.
You know, he's a nice guy. Okay, forget it. We're here tonight, and we're here, as always, to bring you the box office, the news, and any other breaking stuff in film, TV, comics, gaming, whatever you feel like. How are you hosts doing tonight?
Great.
I'm doing really well.
Yeah. Excellent. Brian, you saw Fast and Furious earlier today, correct?
I did. It was kind of the popular film over the weekend, and so I wanted to check it out. I admittedly have not seen 3 through 7. But in speaking with some of you guys and reading up on some stuff, I probably didn't necessarily need to see them. And that held true. You know, this is the epitome of a summer blockbuster film. The storyline is far-fetched. I mean, they've got submarines chasing cars that are driving on ice while, you know, firing missiles at them. It's a summer blockbuster storyline, but it was a lot of fun. And it's exactly what your summer blockbuster should be. Explosions and more explosions, and I've never seen more cars flipped upside down in one film than in this film. It was actually pretty cool. They get heavy into the technology where they can hack into everywhere, even so where they hack into the cars and their guidance systems and cars that kind of drive themselves, and they take over many a car at the same time and make them drive themselves. It was actually pretty cool.
Watch out, Google.
They got techno wizards in here.
For real.
What's he working with them?
Vin Diesel and The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, you know, they come back, and so do Chris Bridges, Ludacris, and their main core folks, except Jordana Brewster. You guys, when did she leave? She wasn't there.
She's been gone for the last, like, 2 movies.
Has she? Okay. They mention her. They mention her, and they mention Paul Walker's character briefly, but I hadn't seen how they wrapped up their characters. And then, so Charlize Theron joins as the villain, a little reunion for Italian Job with Jason Statham, which I thought was cool because I thought it was funny because she's sitting there talking and he's driving all around, and it just reminded me of Italian Job, except he's much older looking. She's not, though. She looks great.
Good.
I thought it was a fun movie. It was a lot of fun. We'll have stuff up on the blog later. You know, sometimes you get these blockbusters that have such a basic script that then the acting suffers. Not so much in this one. All the acting to me was just fine. You know, they rolled with their lines, and some of it was cheesy. They really promote Vin Diesel's character. And like, everyone's just like, but that's Dom. Dom can do it. Dom's the best. So I don't know what I missed in the last couple where he just becomes this elevated badass. But in this film, he was, as were the rest of them. So I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. I don't think I missed out on too much by not seeing the other films. You guys who have seen the other films, I highly recommend going to see it. You know, you're not going to be missing out. Don't stick around for after the credits. I did. I was the only guy in the theater that did. And one of the three ushers that walked by me sitting there could have easily said, "Sir, there's no post-credit scene." But they didn't. They thought it was funny and let me sit there for the extra 12 minutes.
You never know. Maybe you knew, one of the grips, and they just...
This is true.
You were waiting to see their name. You never know.
That's true. They could have been.
It's funny you mentioned Brazilian Job, though, because I feel like... Or Italian Job, whatever.
Italian. We're not talking about your grooming habits.
Well, no. Didn't they name this... Wasn't there one of them Brazilian Job? I thought they did two of them.
Was there, like, a sequel, Brazilian Job?
I thought so.
No. Oh, shoot. I missed if there was.
Maybe that was the straight-to-DVD porn version. I'm not sure. But anyways, I feel like those movies have taken a little bit of a turn, like, towards that, or even Ocean's 11. Like, they get that kind of feel now more than they did in the first couple movies. And they're kind of constantly reinventing and in flux. And, you know, you're on your 8th movie.
Yeah.
And it's killing it. And it's, you know, it seems fresh. And they're still on the way up, if anything. So.
Yeah, I had fun with it. And, you know, when they come back for the ninth one, I'm back to being interested. I didn't watch the last few because, you know, after Tokyo Drift, and I wasn't just interested. And even seeing this trailer, I was kind of like, eh, pass. It just looks what it exactly is. You know, no storyline, no what have you. But I had fun. It's enjoyable. Everyone go and watch it. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, I just looked it up. Sorry, The Brazilian Job was the sequel that never happened, apparently, to The Italian Job.
Oh, so it was going to be...
Yes, it was going to be the sequel to Italian Job, and then they never did it. So,
interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, from everything I've read, it seemed like it was breaking box office records, right, Brian? You have those numbers for us, don't you?
Well, funny you should say that. That's a perfect segue into our box office. There's a new all-time record for films opening weekend, $532 million worldwide opening weekend, and that is Fate of the Furious. It fell just short of $100 million American dollars domestically. It came in $98 million, which is nothing to sneeze at. But overall, it came in at $532 worldwide, which just edged out Star Wars Force Awakens by about $4 million. Something I thought would never happen. I didn't think those would ever be touched.
Well, I figured maybe next Star Wars or next Jurassic World, you know, something like that, but not Fate of the Furious.
No.
But,
yeah.
But, I mean, I think it opened in, what, 65 different countries?
Yeah.
Same day, so.
Yeah, over 4,300 theaters opened up, which is humongous for even just for a huge opening as it is. $250 million budget, they're, you know, a third of the way there, more than that as of now. So they'll make their money back eventually, just Americanized.
Didn't it have an obscene amount opening in the China market as well?
Yeah, shoot, I don't have China's numbers in front of me, but yeah, I mean, America was 98, so you got another, you know, 440.
I want to say it was somewhere like, I want to say it was north of 150. That it opened up there. I mean, it was an absurd number.
Just
that
in China?
Reading on it.
Wow.
Yes, just in China. Yeah.
Wow. Insane. Number two, I mean, there was no other competition the rest of the weekend. Number two is Boss Baby at 16, Beauty and the Beast at 13, Smurfs with 6.7, and then fifth place was Going in Style, pulling at $6.2 million. So nothing crazy. The only thing of note there is that Boss Baby pushes itself over $100 million total. And Beauty and the Beast is rolling now at 454, which is some insane. So that'll top over 500 just domestic now, which are some huge, huge numbers. But Fate of the Furious, the gigantic winner, 98 domestic, new record, 532 overall.
Yeah, I'm getting 190 just from China.
190, yeah, China? Good.
190, yeah, that's what I thought I read it.
That's good money.
Yeah, good for them.
I mean, I think I read that they're also, you know, they already have, what, two more in stages of production. So you're going to see these movies for a while. And they're just going to keep printing money. And
I mean, if they keep churning them out, why wouldn't you? I mean, until they start flopping at the box office, I mean, you might as well, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. After this weekend, I'm surprised they don't book about six more, so.
The weird thing is the last one opened at 64, so it seems like a pretty big jump. You know, you've never seen something like this, part 7 to part 8, jumping by that much.
Is Charlize Theron that popular in China?
I think a lot of people jumped on with part 7 because of the Paul Walker thing.
Mm.
People checked it out and wanted to see what happened, how they handled it. And then you might have got a new fan base. You know, people that maybe, like you, saw the first couple, gave up.
Yeah.
And then that part 7 brought them back. And now they're in. You know, it's like starting over again, a whole new franchise.
Well, and then also, I guess, the main character going bad, turning bad.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you see that. You see it in the trailer.
Wait, the main character's bad?
What? You know what? I felt really stupid. I kept one. Like, I didn't really like the title. And I was like, Fate of the Furious. Like, what are they doing? I didn't really like it. And I know they always try and, like, work the number into the title, like, Too Fast, Too Furious, you know, Fast 5, that whole bit.
Right.
And I didn't get it. And then I saw the poster where it was, like, F8, like, Fate. And I was like, I'm stupid. Like, I totally didn't see that. It's basically like those annoying license plates that everybody has. I don't know. Pure genius. Me forever to catch on to that, so.
It was, like, so smart we didn't get it. Jerks.
Yeah. Was I the only one, or?
No, I didn't get
you
it.
You just blew my mind.
Yeah, I didn't get it. Fate was, you know, the F8. Yeah, makes sense.
Brilliant. Okay.
I really want to see what they do with 9 now.
Yeah, who knows?
They have their work cut out for them, because now we'll all be looking for it. All right, moving forward.
60.
There was a trailer that came out this week. I'm not sure if you gentlemen saw it. It's kind of a popular film franchise that was released. Star Wars The Last Jedi released its first teaser trailer.
Star Wars, you say? I don't. Could you explain this a little bit to me? Star Wars?
That was the Ronald Reagan politics in the 80s.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I heard that was pretty popular trailer.
Yep.
That was a long time ago.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Yep. Yeah. So, as usual, the internet lost its minds. Our hosts lost our minds.
Yes.
I thought, Nick, you take it away. What did you think?
Well, first, when I received the text from you guys that it was dropped, I was nearly in a car accident because I was sitting at the light and I had to start watching it then, which people don't do that, please. But so leading into this, first I have to say Take-Two is going to do a May the 4th episode, and where we're originally going to make a chart, make a listing of our predictions on what the episode 8 is going to be. But now, with the trailer and Luke uttering those words that the Jedi should end, I have no idea. It's like, what does he mean with this? It can be anything. The teaser is just enough to like, okay, I'm good with just seeing that and don't see any more trailers until the movie comes out.
Well, yeah, and like you were saying, that was a poll that we had on our Twitter this week. And what were the options there, Brian? Are you ready to see it now? Do you want to see another trailer? How many more trailers do you want to see?
Yeah,
a pretty decent response, right?
We did. If you were good with just now, with just seeing that one trailer, or if you want just, you know, one more, or if you just want nonstop trailer upon trailer upon trailer, we had 72 votes. You know, 36% said, nope, let me see the film right now. You're good. You just had that trailer and you're good to go now. 35% said, let me see just one more trailer and then I'm ready for the film. And then 29% said, no, just more and more and more trailers. So almost pretty even right down the board there with the three votes. I personally voted for, I'm good to go. I'm ready to see the film. I don't need to be told any more about the storyline. But what they gave us was pretty darn cool. They showed a smashed up helmet kind of on fire that, you know, could have been Kylo Ren's possibly. You know, they showed Rey training. They had Luke training her out in Ireland. On that island, they had a ton of good stuff. They showed Finn in the little hyperbaric chamber that he's, you know, is he going to die? Is he still dead from the last one? A lot of questions they opened up. A lot of good stuff, I thought.
Yep. You get a little bit of Leia from behind. You basically got everybody in there. I thought it was a great trailer. I personally, every time I see those Star Wars trailers and I hear the music, I get a little bit of a chill and it brings me back. It's one of those films that does it for me. No matter what you show me, I'm going to get that nostalgia and feel it. But I personally would like to see another trailer down the road a little bit, maybe get a little bit more info, but just one more. Just give me one more. That's it. And then I'm good till December. So,
for those that say they're good, when they do drop another trailer, are you not going to watch it because you're in a good place? Or are you going to have to watch it because you want to know more?
Debating. Right now.
Bullshit. I call bullshit. You're watching it.
I'd love to say.
Nick's going to watch it about 15 times before anybody else sees it. So he doesn't even have to answer that question.
I'd love to sit here and say I won't watch the next one but it's not going to happen. I'm definitely going to watch it.
Not only that, but you do host a podcast that.
You're right. I'm obligated to the fans to watch it.
Well, that's the thing, too. I feel like this trailer gave us kind of what we knew we were going to see anyways. There wasn't really any surprises. I guess Luke's line was a little bit of a surprise, but you're going to get like some other big reveal in that next trailer, a character that we don't know that's going to be in it yet or whatever the case. You're going to get something else that'll really, you know, get you going until December. So.
True.
I just don't want it to be like Dawn of Justice. I don't know if you guys remember, but like, after all the trailers came out, before the film came out, it was 11 minutes of movie footage. That was like too much.
Yeah, but the difference is you've got Lucasfilms and Disney that know how to preview films because, again, they're still the people behind Marvel versus DC Films who's still trying to get their universe together and get, you know, something, you know, up and standing. So I think you can rely on Disney and Lucasfilms to put together a couple trailers that aren't going to give you too much, but that's just going to give you just enough. I mean, look how well they hyped the Force Awakens. I mean, you got just enough to decide what it was, and it wasn't until you saw the entire film that you saw everything that unfolded within that film.
Yeah, true.
That's all true. You've got, you know, Comic-Con still coming up, which will be huge. Even May the 4th, although I doubt they'll drop anything that soon for May the 4th. But Comic-Con, I can see them dropping something. And then, you know, in the fall, because this movie doesn't come till December.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. It's.
And don't forget, you're going to get toy drops as well. And that's going to be their own little way of dropping hints at what's going to happen, who's going to be a part of it. They did that with Force Awakens. You got all these different toys that were coming out, and everybody started speculating, well, how's this fit into it? And where does this come about? And, you know, what's going to happen in the film with this character?
Well, Han Solo's action figure had a lightsaber through his stomach.
I mean, that was kind of a giveaway. And wait, what do you mean?
Oh, time out. Spoiler alert. Don't listen to my next joke. Okay, go.
Yeah, I mean, and it can be something innocuous like, you know, C-3PO had the red arm, whatever, you know, things like that.
Sure.
People pick up on it. They're going to speculate. Like you said, it's going to be interesting. It's a long time to wait still, though.
Yeah.
Speaking of toys, I know San Diego Comic-Con, I was reading today that Lucasfilm was about to re-release a lot of the classic toys for the 40th anniversary edition, but I think you have to be in San Diego to get it.
But, oh, man.
They don't deliver?
California friends.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll be able to get it on eBay for
KC, we need you.
KC, you're my only hope. See, I remember, I don't know about you guys, but I had one toy set in particular that was of the Rancor pit.
Oh,
it
really?
It had Jabba with the little monkey and all that stuff. It didn't have the Rancor, but it had Jabba and the monkey and the fat guard guy with no shirt on. I don't know what his name is, but I loved those toys. For whatever reason, that's my favorite memory of a Star Wars toy, was that Jabba set.
Does it have Leia in the bikini with
her? Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, okay.
It was great. I was a Jabba fan, though. Sorry. You know.
Has anyone ever seen the cut before they added in the whatever giant slug for Jabba the Hutt, and they had just the fat dude?
Oh, the original actor? Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be part of the actual movie.
I have the VHS floating around somewhere.
If only you could find something to play on.
I can't play it anymore.
I have a VCR, actually.
That works.
Yeah, if you need to borrow it, we can watch the Christmas special or whatever you have.
You know, I do joke, but my mom has one of those VCR TV combos, and when my kids go to her house, she still plays the Disney movies on it, and never fails that we have to rewind everything first because, you know, nobody ever rewinds the film after they're watching it.
You have the Little Mermaid clamshell with the penises on it?
Yes, we do, actually.
Awesome.
And if you listen to my last episode, you'll know why that I would have that.
I feel like we're getting off the rails. No, I thought it was cool. You also had that poster release too. I don't know what you guys thought about that. I didn't like the poster as much as everybody else did.
I honestly liked the parodies of it.
Yeah, the parodies were great.
Like the face-off. That one was hilarious. Yeah. It was perfect, actually.
I didn't get why the faces were, like, not lined up properly.
Yeah, why is Luke's head huge?
Yeah, am I missing something? I don't know, whatever. But, but what do you think about Luke's line? Because I asked my son, you know, does that mean Luke is bad now? Like, what's going on here? What do you guys think?
I think he's going to reinvent the Jedi Order. I think it's going to be the old way is going to end. They're going to kind of do a new version of the Order.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I think that he is sort of along the lines, but he's kind of looking beyond all that and saying, you know, we get too bogged down between this light and dark, and we need to realize that maybe people can be both, and that there's got to be a balance between everything, and that we're getting too in the woods on, you know, people are succeeding to the dark side, so you got to be one or the other, and that you can't, you know, run the line. I think that, you know, he's kind of trying to reinvent everything on it.
Interesting. Kind of,
because Disney, I mean, they bought out, or I guess just, you know, they kind of tossed a lot of the Star Wars extended universe out the window years ago when they bought Lucasfilms, but they are starting to slowly reincorporate some of the ideas. And it was like, what they had, like, the Jedi, like the gray Jedi. Yeah.
Well, what do you think, Tony?
What do I think? What he meant by that line?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I think maybe he is, you know, trying to get rid of that idea of Jedi or whatever. And, you know, but who knows? It could be an interesting twist if he's really, like, just a bad dude.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe he's going to the dark side, too. That would be kind of cool. So.
And you know what? I wonder if this is one of those snippets where this is a cut from a full dialogue and that they just cut it at this point to give you everyone to get, you know, buzz going. Not that you need a whole lot of buzz generating with a Star Wars movie, sure. But I mean, just imagine that this is just a long conversation that he didn't really mean the Jedi Order needs to do it, but that he just took it from dialogue just like that.
So it's fake news. Yeah.
Fake news.
Yeah.
It's all fake news.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to stay tuned and find out in December.
Before we move off of Star Wars, I had an interview that I read about with Mark Hamill. Mm-hmm. And he discussed some of the things that he thought was missed in Force Awakens. And one of them, one of the snippets I thought was really good, is that he felt that Luke, Han, and Leia should have had an opportunity to get together on screen for, like, a swan song, basically. You have a final scene together so that you kind of give a whole twist back to the original films. And he wanted it where there was some kind of action going towards Leia, which would cause Luke to feel that she was in trouble and have to run to save her. And in so doing, they would be trying to save Solo, but they were kind of in the same positions that Rey and Finn were at, where they see him being killed and not being able to stop it. And he felt like there would have been, as he put it, more emotional resonance going into the next films, because these two characters saw his, you know, his husband and his best friend killed in front of him by their son. Wow. So he felt like that would have been more powerful moving in than just two characters that, you know, kind of just met him, other than Chewie. But, you know, Rey and Finn didn't really know anything. You know, they were more legends to him, but they didn't have a personal emotional connection with him to see that happen. So he actually pitched it to J.J. Abrams, and Abrams told him that the way that they had it, they still wanted to leave Luke kind of this mysterious figure that doesn't ever get into this film and have a more opportunity in the next. But I thought that was pretty interesting that, you know, Luke had this, you know, Mark Hamill had this take on that particular scene.
Cool.
I want to see the scene where Chewie inherits the medal that he should have gotten in the first place.
That's right.
Now
he got gypped on the medal.
Now that Han's gone, he can get that medal. So
I want my medal.
Yeah.
That's right.
Talk to JJ about that scene.
You know, JJ doesn't seem to be open to scenes. I mean, when Mark Hamill's pitching something, he's like, "No, you know what, Mark? I've got this." Yeah. I've got
well,
this.
He saw his role as a trickster, and he's like, "Really? What does this guy know?"
Wait, are you doing your Joker voice again? Right. You know, go sit back down, Mark.
You can't just do the same guy but change the name.
And then again, before we get off, long since Star Wars is releasing tons of stuff this week with the film, they also released footage of their new video game, Battlefront 2, which will allow players to play throughout the whole canon of Star Wars. So I know me and Nick will be on that a little bit on another episode, but just kind of, you know, a little teaser, if you will, of Star Wars Battlefront 2.
And they pick up with a storyline after the fall of Vader and the Emperor, of first-person single player, which is going
to... What platform are we going to be on?
I think they're going to be on all of
it. It'll be released on all platforms. It'll be PlayStation, Xbox, Windows. EA is the developing company, and they will release it to everybody that wants to spend money on it. So,
yeah.
Okay, and I think I remember right last time Nintendo didn't get that right.
Yeah. No, but they may end up doing it on Switch, EA, because you have the 4K now possibility, so EA may look to it. I know on the Microsoft, EA does a preview. You can go EA access, and you can actually play a lot of these games before they get released to kind of see how they're going to, you know, whether you want to buy it or not. So that's how I played the original Star Wars Battlefront, just through that. Yeah. So.
As Nick mentioned, in 2.5 weeks, we're going to have a May the 4th special edition episode. It'll be dropped on May the 4th. That'll be part of the celebration that happens every year for Star Wars. We're going to dive 10 times more in depth into Star Wars, and all six hosts are going to be on that episode. So all of you Star Wars fans, and then all of you just regular Take Two fans, look out for that special edition episode that we come out in, I think it's four weeks from today, on May the 4th. All right, so Tony, you mentioned something about another trailer.
Yeah, there was another one earlier in the week. I think everyone kind of overlooked it because of the Star Wars thing. You know, the hype was over in a day by the time Star Wars came out, but I was really impressed with the Thor trailer.
So, out of the three so far.
Oh, yeah, this is the first time I've been excited for a Thor movie. I could care less about, especially the last one. The last one was not good at all, but bringing in the Hulk.
Dark Waters or something like that? What was the name of that one?
Dark World.
Dark World.
Yeah. But I think just bringing the Hulk into this one, I think, was a smart move. You already teased at the end of Doctor Strange that he'll be back in this one as well. So I like where they're going with it. You know, it's going to be the kind of alternate events of what was going on during Civil War, because those guys weren't in Civil War. So you'll see what they were doing and what they were up to. And it just looks like it's getting more into the, you know, the more mystical and magical part of Marvel that certain people really love. And we're going to see more of it, more of these worlds and more of the characters being introduced. So.
And I liked the fun aspect that was introduced with this trailer. I mean, we know Marvel has a great layout of how they do their films, and they introduce comedy and everything. But that snippet where Thor interacts with Marvel, I thought, or not Marvel, but the Hulk, I thought was really good for this trailer.
That was fun.
We know each other from work.
Yeah.
Yeah, this
I
is.
Like the... Go ahead, Ryan.
Oh no! But actually, what I'm saying is that I have nothing to add. This is terrible radio because I agree, spot on. At you know, the first one was eh. The second one was less eh. And then this one, but then this trailer comes out and it looks good. I'm actually really interested, which is weird, you know, to not like two films and then the third trailer comes out and now you're fully into it. And I just remember Hemsworth, I read an article where he thought he had gotten fired when he saw that they weren't in Civil War. And he was like, time out, you have 30 comic characters in here and I'm not one of them. What's going on? And they said, well, pump the brakes. Hang on. You don't worry. We got big plans for you, big plans for the Hulk. And it looks like that is true.
Being a Hulk fan, I do like the twist with the Planet Hulk. I guess they took pieces of it, you know, with the Gladiator thing. So that's going to be different because in the comic books, with Planet Hulk, he was an intelligent Hulk. I don't know how they're going to know that Bruce Banner was in control, but like Bruce Banner and the Hulk, when they merge, they're just a completely different being at that point. So I wonder if they're going to go that route with,
you know,
thinking Hulk.
Yeah, watching the trailer, I felt like the Hulk's face almost looked a little more Ruffalo-ish. Did anybody else get that?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if we are going to get that in this movie. Maybe we're going to start to see him being smart, the smarter version of Hulk. Maybe we'll see him try and talk or whatever the case. So.
And that would be interesting because that's a storyline that plays well. I mean, I know everyone likes the smashing Hulk, but there's something to it about seeing a smart Hulk that not only can fight, but can also fight smartly instead of just smashing.
Yeah, the evolution of the character would be nice to see. You know, you saw it in the beginning and it was great, but now, you know, if every film that's all he is, we would, as cool as it is to see the Hulk do that, I think we'd be tired of it. So that'd be cool if they evolved his character to that degree.
Sure, especially since we're probably not going to get another standalone Hulk movie.
And it saddens me, but it's...
And am I the only other one that actually likes Thor in the other movies, but the movies that he's in, it's just like... Like, his character is great in the other films because of his interaction with the other characters.
Yeah, yeah. In the Avengers movies, he's funny, and it's because of the culture difference, if you will, between the things he says, and he kind of got the same thing out of Captain America when he was still, you know, set in the 50s, and he's trying to interact with Tony Stark. You get those funny moments, and that's what works well.
Like, even those little shorts that they've done online with him, you know, being the roommate, and he's like, here, I've got, you know, this, you know, money that is, you know, so much money that you can't even figure, you know, when he's paying rent or whatever. That stuff I think is funny. I think when they characterize him in that regard, I think he's great. It's just his you know, we've already discussed the standalones just didn't, wasn't able to capture that to a degree they were able to do with the other films.
When you said the little short... Oh, go ahead, Tony. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say Hemsworth proved his comedic talents. He's been on SNL. He did great. Mm-hmm. And then in the Ghostbusters over the summer, I thought he was one of the best parts of that movie. He's a solidly funny guy, so it's good that they're giving him that chance.
All right, up next, you have some news.
Yeah, I have a little bit of news, a little more housekeeping style news. The Oscars made a couple of changes to the way they do business, and it's not pertaining to who hands out what envelope, if we all remember that debacle. They changed the documentary nomination rules, and they also changed the animated feature rules for who can get nominated or by whom. For the documentary, they kind of now excluded the multi-part series-style documentaries. This is kind of a big deal because OJ, Made in America, which won for Best Doc this year, was a 7-part series produced by ESPN. And now they're saying no more of those. They want the documentary films to be actual just one entity film by itself.
Now, before you move on, how do you guys feel about those? Now, you and Tony are Advent Oscar people. How do you feel that will change the category moving forward? Do you think it helps or hurts the category?
I'm interested. It might hurt it because I see a lot of ones that are broken up into multiple series. I mean, we just watched Five Came Back, and that was split into 3 parts. So can they not submit that now because it's technically 3 parts? It's not, you know, it wouldn't be under consideration. You might actually have to come up with a new category.
Yeah, words out of my mouth. That was my thought. Like, why can't they just create a new category? Because, like, we did Five Came Back. I just watched American Playboy. And these are, you know, docuseries that are all, and it feels like docuseries are, that's what they are. They're multiple parts, and it gets more people to watch versus legitimate documentary films. And I feel like the docuseries are more popular to this point. They should make them their own category if this is the rule they're going to pick. So I don't want to say I'm not against it, but I don't like it because now you're going to get rid of a lot of good stuff that we like to watch.
Yeah. Now, couldn't they adapt this? I mean, we know they've adapted before where you kind of have your traditional documentaries where, and you have a feature film where you look at a subject and you go in depth in it. And then now you have this series where you kind of expand on multiple areas of one subject and kind of open it up to the public at large.
You'd have documentary short, documentary feature, and then maybe documentary series would be your 3 categories.
Has the Academy done that before where they've introduced, I guess with animated films, they've kind of introduced that as film has progressed?
Yeah, they introduced it with Beauty and the Beast, right? When that was nominated for Best Picture, because that never happened before, right?
Yeah, that was the first one. Yeah.
Documentaries were introduced,
as Five Came Back showed us, during the war effort when they produced all those documentaries. That was kind of like a big time for that. And that was the first time they created the category.
Oh, yeah, sure. They've had to, you know, break categories into, you know, adaptive versus original pieces of art. And then with music, they've adapted, you know, from score to original songs. You know, each category they've had to do. So, yeah, you're right. This could be another thing they evolve on.
Yeah, and I think they're going to have to, because with your streaming services, the way that they release stuff, I think you're going to have to see it just evolve as it goes. And either that or the industry itself will have to react and not make as many of those and you know, make them separate standalones. You know, we'll see what happens, see how it plays out.
And I guess that would be my next question is the chance of winning the Oscar, will it affect people that have these ideas going forward? Will they adapt at a chance to have an Academy Award, or will they just go ahead and make it and say, look, the Academy needs to adapt to us?
Yeah, we'll see. It might be just dependent on the subject matter, you know. They could maybe make a shorter version of what they wanted to make, release it, and then do sequels. You might see, like, documentary sequels, you know.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting thought, too.
For animated, they're going to open up the voting more towards the members versus just the media. And that's a big deal because your regular members, like, if you want to take our 6 hosts – who can name animated films, I think out of the 6 of us, it'll take a minute before we get to Kubo and some of the, you know, lesser studio productions. We'll all be able to rattle off Moana, Life of Pets, Zootopia easily. So if you have just everyday members of the Academy getting to vote on what films they want to be nominated in the first place, it's really going to hinder the lesser studios, almost independent artwork films, from getting nominated. So like this year with, I'm just using this year with Kubo, probably wouldn't have gotten nominated just because of its lack of popularity from the mainstream. Now, I mean, Tony, you saw Kubo, and we're generalizing to one example, so it's a bad thing to do. And actually liked it, though, right?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
But you wanted
it's
to.
It's on my list. I wanted to check it out. I mean, you and I both followed this for years, and you've seen it recently where they've done that. They've had more independent stuff. They've had more foreign animated. This is another one where you might have to just add another category, you know, foreign animated or whatever.
Yeah.
Because you're getting more of that in there, not just your mainstream stuff. Because sometimes you get your mainstream stuff that's being kept off the ballot because of these other movies. So.
Yeah. All true. All true.
Yeah. Now, will this change kind of trickle to the other awards? Now, I know the other awards have different categories, but do they have similar categories where they allow these films to exist? And is it a way to separate the Academy from the other awards?
Well, I think from it you could start, and Tony brought this up during our Oscar either preview or review episode, of where actors can start getting nominated for their animation work, for their voice work, and then like Andy Serkis with some of his work in all of his films. So if you were expanding categories and expanding the depth of which we nominate these animated films, then yeah, I mean, you could really start getting into stuff like that.
Yeah, I think you're going to see more of that. The CG voiceover actor being recognized, because you're seeing that more and more in these movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely see a lot of personality from the actors coming out in these characters. And I mean, it's not like it's a static environment. I mean, these people are putting the emotion into the character. I think the animator in conjunction with the voice actor is what makes these films come alive.
Yeah, a lot of times they're reacting to nothing. They're being told what the situation is, but you're not really in the moment, you know, and they do multiple takes to get the different versions, you know. So
yeah, I saw
it's not a walk in the park. It's definitely tedious work.
Oh no, I saw there was a video on YouTube about Moana, and I happened to show it to my daughter, and it actually took each actor and kind of showed how they were being recorded, and you know, the amount of times they took the takes on the singing, and then they went into the studio and did the actual song. And I mean, it was crazy how the way they were reacting to nobody in front of them, based off of just Lin-Manuel standing there telling him what he's kind of wanting out of each song and stuff like that. So yeah, I completely see that there's a lot of talent and direction that goes into that just little sections.
Maybe Mark Ruffalo will get nominated for playing the Hulk.
There you go.
Stranger things have happened.
I think you're going to continue to see it all changing and evolving with technology and just with the way that we consume content. You know, all the streaming stuff and all that. As that changes, they're going to have to change the award shows to reflect it. So
when does the Academy add Best CGI Actor? When does that come in?
Whenever,
CGI only.
Yeah, whenever we get those James Cameron 8 more Avatars made.
Oh.
It would be interesting. I mean, and for some of those categories, you would think the first thing they would do is those awards would be given in the award show that happens the weekend before the Academy, the Science and Tech Awards, mm-hmm. that happens. You know, you don't show those on air. So maybe
just get that long scroll.
Exactly. And they do a quick little clip and say, hey, all these people won. They weren't good enough to be invited tonight. But
but their award is just as important as your award.
That actually segues me to my next part, because the most important award that's given out of the Oscars is obviously the writing award.
Obviously.
Well, we might not be giving out any awards soon, because there's heavy, heavy rumors that there's a writer's strike that's going to come out soon. Dive deep. I'll try and post a couple of links on our Twitter and our blog into this, because this kind of goes in real deep for why the writers are striking. But when you read it, it makes complete sense. A couple of the little things are where episodes are shortened for seasons, where back in the day you used to get 26 episodes per season for a regular sitcom, if you will, or show. But now, you know, these Netflix and these streaming ones are 8, 10, 13, right? Netflix is 13 for all of theirs, I think, and a lot of the and HBOs are 10s, like we're just talking about. And so these writers, that's half their work, and they're not being compensated for the other 15 to 20 episodes that they should have been working on. and they need adjustments in their contracts. And obviously it's not happening just yet. So that's just one example of things that are happening that they're like, time out. We're missing out on some pay here because of the change in how things are filmed and broadcast. So that will affect the fall coming forward.
I personally hope this is a rumor because I remember the last time the writers went on strike and the content that came out with them doing the proxy writers and anybody else they could get that wasn't part of the Writers Guild was just god awful in some instances.
But you didn't like that? I mean, is Transformers 2?
No, I mean that was. I mean that is one of the epitomes of a summer blockbuster that ended up falling flat. And I'm sure the you know movie itself being a summer blockbuster and only in and of itself would have not been great as it is, but to not have any good writing behind it. I mean, I'm just not looking forward to with all the great content that has been coming out recently, and then just to have a, you know, even a month delay is just not something I'm looking forward to. Though I completely agree with the writers that, you know, the contract needs to be changed and that with the changing times, everybody needs to change with it. But I'm just not looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, you see your effects on TV first more than anything because those are done much shorter turnaround window. A lot of films are already you know, ready to roll, so
yeah.
At least we wouldn't see that unless it was like prolonged. But hey, you know what? Go on strike because I know a guy who writes blogs a lot who wouldn't mind writing for some TV shows. So.
I don't
send
know.
Some work my way.
I wasn't going to mention that you were the one that wrote that Transformers 2, but either way. All right.
Get ironed out because that's the fall season.
So writers, send your hate mail to Take2Podcast. Any directors wanting writers, send it to Take2Podcast.
Yeah, exactly. All right, the last little bit of news I have and then I'm done is Netflix is moving to Los Angeles. What does that exactly mean? Since Netflix was a startup company and they started to do their original content, their main objective was to find states and locations that they could film where they could get tax exemptions and certain tax breaks for where they were, as opposed to filming in New York and Los Angeles. It makes sense. Many independent films do. And at one point, Netflix was considered independent filming. But now they're big enough where that's not their main goal. And there are people came out and they said, we want more so right now, we want consistency in our work and our quality of work. And their shtick is more so not the actors and directors, although being based out of Los Angeles and New York, obviously you can attract all of the top-end talent. The people who work on stuff like the grips and the behind-the-scenes folks, they are all based out of L.A. and New York. So now they can get the top end of those folks since all of their stuff will be filming out of L.A. or New York, but more so L.A. going forward.
What you're saying is Netflix now has money and they're comfortable enough to move to L.A. and go ahead and pay the taxes that surrounds filming in Hollywood and New York.
You got it.
Well, that kind of segues into news from Nick, I believe, correct? With a Netflix film?
Well, since I am the designated Adam Sandler movie buff for Take Two.
The Sandlerverse.
Sandlerverse, yes. It dropped this Friday. Sandy Rexler, Adam Sandler film. And I think this is movie 3 for the 4-movie deal that he got. Or was it 5 movies?
Yeah, I know he re-upped it. He added another set of films to it.
So essentially, this is a love story that kind of, and it's starring, you know, Adam Sandler, what's her name,
Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah, Jennifer Hudson. You know, all of the Happy Madison folks are in it. Rob Schneider, you know, everyone. David Spade, you know, just the usual suspects for all of his films. But it's a little nostalgic because it takes place in the 90s, you know. We're all children of the 90s here. He is a talent manager, not a agent. He just manages, you know, these low-budget stars. He has a wannabe Daredevil. He has a guy who does puppets. That's Kevin James' character. He has, like, Terry Crews ends up coming along as a wrestler and just... Miss Hudson is a, you know, a great singer. He discovers her at like the equivalent of Six Flags. I think it was Six Flags actually, and she was singing the Ugly Duckling song, and he convinced her to quit and, you know, try to make herself big, and they end up falling for each other. I mean, it's just
aw.
the same old shtick with the middle-aged Adam Sandler. It's kind of hard to explain. You know, he started making a slow evolution from, you know, his younger days, that Saturday Night Live style of comedy that he that made him famous. And then it probably started with Click. Yeah, it kind of started with that, in my opinion. And then started getting to his later life, more trying to have a deeper, still trying to do the dumb comedy, but with a deeper vibe to it. And it's just not really translating that well. Me,
well, if I remember right, I think this was supposed to be like a take on his real life manager. Like, he'd been working on this for years and had always said he wanted to make a movie about his own manager. Yeah, and aren't there like a ton of celebrities in the movie too? Like,
yeah,
Arsenio Hall to like Weird Al, like everybody you could think of is in this movie, right?
It is a ton. I mean, like, you know, like Arsenio, Weird Al, DeFonz, I can't remember his real name right now.
Henry Winkler.
I mean, it was a ton of people. Like, it wasn't a bad movie, but it wasn't a great movie by any means. On a scale of 1 to 10, it sits at a solid, you know, 5.5. It was, I guess the main stick in this film was that his character lies all the time. I guess lying is kind of harsh. His character, he only tells people what he thinks they want to hear. So
hey, he's a manager. Yeah,
he's a manager. You know, so.
That's what they do. Yep.
And that could be what his first manager did. I don't know, but it was okay. It's not feeling his new, this vibe. He's just this whole thing he has going in his last films. Other than the Do Over, which I thought was a solid, funny film, but yeah.
Yeah. During the interview, he talked about saying that he some of the scenes were kind of, you know, over embellished, you know, they took some of his personalities and really embellished, but other scenes came straight from actual happenings. Like, I guess there's a scene where he's in a meeting and he leans back and he turns off the lights and he comes up and he's like, who turned out the lights? And someone asks, he's like, who turned out the lights? And like, he was just completely dumbfounded how somebody had turned off the lights when he in fact was the one that do it. He was talking about that particular scene as that actually happened at a meeting that he was with Adam.
Regardless, he already, I think he's gotten paid already, so he's in it.
Yep, we'll see. All right, what else do you have for news for us?
All right, moving on, I have... So, Rogue One started the new, I guess, digitized actors. That's just what I'm calling it. So, the future Alien movies will have a younger computer-generated Sigourney Weaver.
Is that confirmed?
That is what I read. That is what they're planning. I don't know. Now, that being said, I don't know if it's going to be... you know, honestly, I was about to say, I don't know if it's going to be, like, a lot of dialogue, but, I mean, she's the star. So, I'm curious to see how they're going to go with that route. I mean, I think they should just make these movies up until Alien 1 and then just kind of cut them, but if they make money, they're going to start to pump them out. They're going to at least do one and test the water.
Now, will she voice the character, or are they going to do like they did with the other characters and use a synthesized voice from all the other movies and everything else and kind of create the voice?
I mean, I haven't seen or heard anything from Sigourney Weaver in a while. Okay. She still sounds the same. I don't see why she couldn't voice the character. You know, unless she has some medical issue, or she's not that old where it's got the crone voice going, but you never know. I mean, I'm assuming she will, but the article I read, it didn't say if she's going to voice the character or not, but they're definitely going to do the younger digitized Sigourney Weaver, and then I guess they may make one more that leads up into Alien 1.
Now, how do you guys feel about that? How do you feel about a CGI'd character from either a past or, you know, even a completely created CGI character that's not a shtick that people are supposed to think that's a real person?
Well, I think you've already been doing it in a lot of movies. I mean, you had Robert Downey Jr. young in the Civil War. You know, as long as it's an actor who's still alive and they're actually featuring their own voice, I'm good with it. I did feel like the thing in Rogue One where you're using a dead actor and recreating him is a little strange because you don't know if this actor would have really wanted to do this role or speak those lines. You know what I mean? So that's a little strange to me. But if you're just using a current actor and aging them digitally, because I think they're supposed to be doing this with De Niro, in his next movie as well, making him look like a 30-year-old again. So I think, like Nick said, you're going to see more of that, and I'm okay with it. But I find it's a little strange when it's somebody who's already passed on and they're bringing them back. That's weird to me. But
moving on. So I know a couple guys were excited about this. The Rampage video game live action movie adaptation is officially underway. The Rock announced that they have begun shooting the film. I never really got into that particular game, but we'll see how it goes. I don't know. I mean,
and you got what? Malin Ackerman's supposed to be in it, and Negan, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. They're supposed to be in it as well. So
it's a good decent cast.
Yeah, decent little cast. So,
and of course, right now, anything that The Rock touches is almost an instant gold anyway.
Oh, yeah. So I think maybe the Smurfs should call him up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really and truly, if you just want a little bump, just have him make a cameo or do a voiceover or something for your film, and you're an instant, you know, 15-20% bump in what you're doing.
I think he should make a movie about when is he going to finish buttoning his cuffs, though.
Dude, that was hilarious.
That article cracked me up. Just random pictures of him doing that one button. I mean, I didn't realize how many times he does it. It's crazy.
And a lot of those times, I remember him in the Ballers, and every single time that I'm picturing, it's like, yes, he's always messing with his shirt cuffs.
Yep. All right, Nick, you got any other news for us?
I got one more thing. Mr. M. Night Shyamalan confirms that Samuel Jackson will be in Split 2 with Bruce Willis.
Okay.
And also, he says that the Split 2 is too scary for him to finish writing right now, the ending. Whatever that means. I don't know.
Yeah, I still don't know what that means. Like, is he going to do it? Is he going to hire somebody else?
Yeah, like, what are you talking about?
Is he physically too scared? Like, his pen shakes? Like,
listen, it happens, okay? People get scared.
I'm like, come on. But, hey,
he's going to go the George R.R. Martin route and just wait for a little bit and see if it comes to him and then pin it somewhere. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't want to get started down that road with Mr. Martin. M. Night Shyamalan, I mean, for a $9 million production cost, and he made, what was it, like $100-plus million, he better get the writing to, he's on a roll with this film.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Maybe he's too scared because, you know, he's got the success similar to what he had with Sixth Sense, and then now this next film is like, they're going to compare it to, you know, when he wrote Unbreakable, and then, you know, he was downhill from there, so maybe that's what he's scared of. He just doesn't want to finish it because he's afraid that, you know, his next sophomore film won't be as good as the, you know, or it'll be up to par like the last one.
That's a valid point.
Okay. All right.
I mean, because it used to be where M. Night Shyamalan put his name on everything, and then now it's no longer M. Night Shyamalan's, you know, Sixth Sense or M. Night Shyamalan's The Village. Now it's, you'll just see the name, and it, and then just like every other director, you know, he's kind of in the credits, but he's no longer being prominent as that.
Well, I have to recant that. Devil was very good. That was a movie that people slept on. That was a really good film. But I think that was him trying to get himself back in the good graces of Hollywood.
Well, that was just him writing. He didn't direct it, right?
He didn't direct it, but he did write it.
Yeah, so I think he had success there, and then they had a show on Fox that he wrote. I can't think of the name of it right now, but that one also was somewhat successful and lasted 2 seasons. So yeah, I think he wasn't publicizing that he was doing that stuff, hoping that he could just get his creative mojo back and knock his ego down a little bit, maybe, as you were saying. So.
Okay, so. All right, well, that wraps up my news, fellas.
Cool. Go ahead.
The only thing else I had to add was just a little snippet. The remake of A Star Is Born is starting production with Lady Gaga as the lead. She's going to be the you know, newfound talent that Bradley Cooper, who is going to be the country star, who's going to mentoring, be looking for that sometime early next year. But they have started production on that. That's that was cool. All the news I had.
Do you still have the Lady Gaga poster on your wall in your room, or did your wife make you take it down yet?
It is on my wall.
Nice.
And it's just in a position where the wife doesn't see it.
Oh, lovely.
And I'll leave it at that.
It's on the ceiling. All right, let me wrap it up. I got a couple quick things. Sadly, this week we lost a comedic talent. Charlie Murphy died. He was only 57. Really big, you know, acting-wise. We really only knew him from Chappelle's show, where he told some funny stories about Prince, and that's what everyone remembers him from. And the fact that he's Eddie Murphy's brother. But yeah, 57, like you said, Brian, too soon. He was battling leukemia, apparently.
Wow, I didn't see that. That's a shame.
Yeah.
He had a tough battle.
Yeah. So sad to see him go. Rest in peace, Charlie. The only other things I had this week were Jude Law was cast for the Fantastic Beasts sequel. He will be playing young Dumbledore.
That's cool.
That's pretty big if you're into the Potterverse. And then also, I know Nick and I watch Star Wars Rebels and talk about that every once in a while. They have come out and said this next season will be it. And they are linking it right up into the events of Rogue One / New Hope. And that's where the show will end. So season 4 will be it for Star Wars Rebels.
Now, where do you think they're going to go with their next animated adventure? Because they've always had an animated going on. So do you think they're going to try to go with events in a different era?
Yeah, I think, you know, Disney, they said Rebels is canon, even Clone Wars is canon, if I'm not mistaken. I think the next one will be as well, and they probably will focus on maybe shepherding the next trilogy is what I'm thinking, because there's a lot of talk now about this trilogy will wrap up that Skywalker saga. Yeah. So maybe the next series will focus on our next group of characters, wherever that may lead us. I'm sure they've already got it planned out, and there are already people drawing stuff right now we don't even know anything about, so...
Yeah, I would agree with you. If that's one thing Disney's good about is the you know, far thinking. That and Marvel, they've probably got blackboards written till 2050 on what they want to do.
Yeah. So that's all the news I had for awesome. This week. Brian, what do you got? Anything else?
We do have a couple of announcements for our show, though. We have our best sports movies episode. We did a special edition episode that's going to be coming out later this week. As you're listening, look towards the end of this week and you'll see we had such a good time doing our March movie madness bracket that we then kind of turned it into its own special edition. It was about 30-minute episode where we just break down sports movies, you know, we break them down by category, by sport, and just kind of go off the cuff, and we get heavy into the world of dart movies. I don't know if you folks knew that there was dart throwing movies, but there actually are. And then on the 27th, that's the night of the NFL football draft, we have a draft of our own that'll be coming out that week. We'll talk more about this coming up, but that is next Thursday, and you'll see a special edition episode where we drafted what we thought was going to make the most money this summer blockbuster season. Each one of us got to pick 3 films that are coming out between May and August, and we're going to add up the money for their opening weekends, put it all together, and then whoever has the most come August will be our big draft winner. Look for that episode to be released the same night as the football draft. So when you're done with the football draft and the sports, turn us on and you can give us a listen and have a full night of drafting. So those are a couple of events that are coming up.
I think they should listen to us during the draft. I mean, there's so much time in between draft picks that they should just go ahead and listen, and then they can kind of rate us as we go. You know, I think that'd be perfect time to pass the time instead of listening to Chris Berman and Todd McShay and whoever else sitting there going over the, you know, third round pick for the Carolina Panthers.
So, you couldn't say Tampa Bay.
Oh, I certainly couldn't say Tampa Bay.
Well, the first pick is the only one that matters. It's the Browns, so.
I think they have the first pick for the next 10 years, don't they?
It's something like that, yes. Somebody asked me the other day who they were taking the first pick. I said, which year?
They need Costner as their GM.
They do. Draft day should have been real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, I was just going to add in, we have our Leftovers episode that we're going to work on. Leftovers premiered this week.
Woo!
And we're going to dissect that. It's in its final season, and you're going to see us dropping episodes throughout the year talking about Leftovers. So if you're a fan, look for those episodes as well.
Yep. Movies coming out this weekend. Only 2 kind of note. Kind of Unforgettable. That's the Rosario Dawson, Katherine Heigl film that's coming out. this weekend.
Yeah, I forgot that was coming out.
And the other one is Born in China. That's the Disney documentary about pandas and growing up in the wildlife. Fun kid movie. John Krasinski is the narrator for that one. Other than that, a bunch of indie films that aren't worth noting. That sounded mean. Anyway.
That sounded really old.
At Take Two Podcast on Twitter. Take2podcast@gmail.com is our email. Send us your emails. Send us your tweets. Check out our blog. We got a ton of good blog stuff going up and a ton more coming this week because we're watching so much stuff. That is take2podcast.wordpress.com. Send us all of your thoughts going forward. I had something else I just forgot. But
no, that's it.
Awesome.
Nothing on my end.
Keep listening. Check out all of our special stuff we're throwing at you.
Oh, ratings and reviews.
What's that?
Ratings and reviews. That was what I forgot to say. If anyone gets a chance, give us a rating, give us a review on iTunes. Folks, it really does actually help out our show a lot. So just a quick 5-star rating. It takes all of 1 minute. And a nice little review letting us know which host is your favorite. We all know that answer, obviously. But, you know, just write it in there anyway. Sorry, Tony, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, give us a follow because I think we've been set with the one episode a week for a while now. So if you follow us, you'll get the alerts when we drop these extra episodes. We're going to try and keep giving you more than one a week if we can do it. So keep checking back.
Valid.
And also send us emails on what you want us to start reviewing. If there's a show that you know you're really into and you think we should start following it as well, let us know and we'll go ahead and jump on it and interact with you. We're always looking for more content and we obviously want to give you guys what you want to hear. So let us know.
Good night, everybody.
All right, good night.
Good night.